Hi, this is Jim Vaccolo, and this is ILCT call on the business of coaching here on the 24th of July, 2013. I'm joined with a bunch of folks who have submitted questions, many of them, and who have questions about marketing themselves and building a coaching business, which happens to be one of my passions. I met Pat Williams, the founder of ILCT at Coach U when we were both students there in 1995-96. Been teaching teleclasses there since 96 and helped him start the advisory board with ILCT in 99 or 98 and been teaching here since 99 part-time, and I built my own international coaching practice. I was a full-time pastor and teacher when I started coaching and began building my practice slowly but surely, and have been full-time coaching since 1999. I now live for the last 3 years in Las Vegas, where I'm semi-retired, and previously to that was 15 years in California, and I'm a native of New Jersey and the East Coast. So I've gotten across the continent anyway, which is fun. I am one of the first master certified coaches at the International Coach Federation and a charter member of that organization. I am a certified career coach, a certified executive coach with the World Association of Business Coaches, a certified mentor coach, and a few other certifications I won't mention, including life coaching. So I tell my wife I'm certifiable, and she agrees. So if you don't like humor, you won't like my call, but trust me, there will be some here for you, so bear with me. I love marketing because everything is marketing. It's ubiquitous. If you don't believe me, just turn on the news and watch what they're doing with this royal baby. And, you know, if you don't think they're marketing the royal baby – and that they're going to make hundreds of millions of dollars from that kid, just turn on the tube on most any channel and you'll see what I'm talking about, if you haven't already. So marketing is ubiquitous, from signs on buses and subways and in restrooms nowadays. You can't get away from marketing. But marketing coaching is different than marketing anything else. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I have a new course for ILCT. I've put together an 8-week course on marketing called The Business of Coaching. It expands the business section from the foundations course, and it includes new material as well as material that I've put together over the years from teaching marketing and taking marketing. From people like J. Conrad Levinson and Alex Mondozian and Seth Godin and Mark Victor Hansen and others. So I learned and believed early on that you can be the greatest coach in the world, have the greatest passion for helping people, have the greatest skill set. But if you have no clients, none of that is really matters. So it's important that you learn how to get clients too. There are many courses on marketing. There are many books and tapes on marketing. Everybody and their brother has a way to do it. I say find your own way, and that's what this course is designed to do and help you to discover your own way. Introverts have to market themselves differently than extroverts, for example, and there's nothing wrong with that. However, we get in trouble when we try to market ourselves in an inauthentic way, because at some level your prospect knows you're nervous and knows you're not being authentic. As someone who started out marketing under the rubric of evangelism, I can tell you that whether you are working for a nonprofit organization or a for-profit organization, everybody has to market. Those of you who are therapists that work in clinics, the clinic has to market itself and feed you clients. If you're an educator, the educational institution has to market itself and feed you clients. The difference is when you're in business for yourself as a coach, you have to learn how to market, whether you like it or not. And I say there's a way to make you like it. That's my belief, because I've seen it happen. I've seen people who hated marketing turn into fanatics when they find a good way to, for them to do it that really rings and makes their heart sing. So that's important. So let me turn to some of the questions that you folks submitted. And I just got these this morning, by the way. So a lot of what I'm going to say is right off the top of my head, okay? Because Amy just sent them to me this morning. So I've had about an hour and a half to peruse them in between doing some other things this morning. But I tried to put them in some semblance of order in terms of what I thought would be helpful for you. And we'll have a chance to individually ask some things later. So the first question is, what are the most common mistakes coaches make in building their business? Great question. I think that believing that marketing coaching is like marketing other products or services is a big mistake. It's not. Coaching is unique in the sense that it's very personal. It's not like buying a refrigerator, and it's not like marketing therapy or anything like that. Why? Because our clients are whole, competent, capable, willing to take appropriate risks, willing to make appropriate changes in their life. If they're not, then they're probably better candidates for some other kind of assistance than coaching. The second biggest mistake I see over and over and over again is coaches trying to explain coaching to people rather than telling them about the benefits of coaching. That's like explaining how to do a push-up or how to work an elliptical machine in a gym rather than talking about the benefits of working out. It's about as boring as watching paint dry. So trying to explain coaching to people who are not coaches or don't want to be coaches is a futile process. So please don't do that, okay? You'll help yourself immensely by not doing that. Somebody has a little static on the background. If you can hit star 6 on your phone if you haven't already, I would appreciate that. Thank you. Having the wrong mindset is another mistake people make. Believing that if I just tell you about coaching and then offer you a free session, you're going to take me up on it and you're going to benefit from my coaching. Doesn't work that way. You have to think of marketing as a process, a multi-stage process. It's not a one-shot deal. The best marketers in the world all say it takes 7 to 9 significant contacts, or what I call touches with people, in order to turn a stranger into a prospect, into a client. Okay? In order to get those 7 to 9 significant touches, you may have to make 25 to 30 attempts to reach someone. So if you are offering free sessions as your marketing methodology, and more people than not are turning you down, it's because they don't have a history with you. There's no relationship there. There's no context. People want to do business with people they know, like, and trust, first and foremost. And how do you get them to know, like, and trust you? You build a relationship with them over time. You don't meet someone usually for the first time and say, hey, I really like you. Let's go get married this weekend. You build a history with that person, and then you propose. Same thing with coaching. You have to have a history with people. And there are proven ways of doing that. And that's part of what this course is going to teach you to do and how to network effectively in many different ways. Another question, what mindset does a successful coach need to have to really build a sustainable business? You have to define who your ideal client is, who you're looking for. I'm not a fisherman, but I know enough about fishing to know that you can't go to the open ocean and catch swordfish or bluefish the same way you catch trout in a stream. It doesn't work that way. So you have to know who your niche is or who the client is that you're looking to attract. And you have to be very clear about what you can offer them and what you cannot offer them. You also have to know what's keeping them up at night and what they want out of life. And the more you study your ideal client and what they want and need and how you can benefit them, the easier it's going to be to attract them. But if you just say, well, I'll coach any old body, I was there. I started out that way. I get it. I understand. But trust me, having a client who's simply breathing and has a checkbook is not an ideal client. It is not a niche. Okay? So being willing to turn down clients that are not a good fit for you is one of the hardest things to learn for new coaches. And I get that. I understand that. But it's essential, an essential skill. What's the biggest hindrance, somebody asked, to starting a coaching business? One word, mindset. What you bring to the table, you are your own biggest hindrance. Also, you are your own magic bullet. If there's a magic bullet to coaching and you think you're going to get it from my class, don't bother. It's not going to happen. If you think you're going to get it from anybody else's class or a workshop, forget it. It's not going to happen. You are your own magic bullet. There are no shortcuts to learning marketing skills. It takes time, like any other good skill. Okay? But there is a right way and a wrong way for you. And that's what I want to work with you to do, if you're willing to do the work. Part of the new course is a practicum. You have to take action during this course. You can't just sit there and soak in theory and expect to succeed. Okay? So I'm telling you that upfront. If you're not willing to do some work and you don't have some time to invest in your marketing right now, then maybe now is not the time to take this course. When it starts, by the way, it starts next week, next Monday. Wednesday. Next Wednesday, a week from today, at noon Eastern. And it goes for 8 weeks. But if you do have some time to devote to your marketing, at least several hours a week, and you're willing to do that, then I think you can benefit from it. I just want to be clear and upfront about that. How to attract worthwhile clients. Well, I'm not sure what a worthwhile client is to the person who asked the question, but I'll take it to mean, a good paying client, okay? I would say there are many ways to attract people. Public speaking works well for some. Writing articles works well for others, or blogs. Joining networking groups or starting your own networking group, and I'll teach you how to do that. Social media and ebooks and things of that nature work for others. So there's no one way to do it. You have to experiment, because the best marketers are always experimenting, and they're willing to take risks and they're willing to fail. There's not a single invention that was ever done that didn't fail first. My favorite example is Viagra. And I'm glad you're all on mute right now. But the truth is, Viagra, you may or may not know, was originally supposed to be a heart medication. It failed miserably as a heart medication. But it had a very interesting side effect. And good marketers have turned that interesting side effect into billions and billions of dollars. So even when you fail, you can learn from it, repackage things, and go from there. Okay? That's what I'm going to teach you to do. How do you market with little or no marketing budget? You have to have a clearly defined target audience, like I said, a niche. You have to have great coaching skills. There's no substitute for that. You have to be willing to take risks, and you have to be willing to hear no thanks quite a bit, because everybody on this call, including me, at some time in your life was not ready for coaching or to be coached. You know it's true. So part of it is getting people at the right time to attract them when they're ready for coaching. And you may do everything right, correctly, and still not get a client because they're not ready. And that's okay. You have to let that be okay. Okay? Another person asked, said most coaches seem to end up telling other potential coaches what a great business this is, and if you want to get serious, pay me. Real examples are always non-existent. Well, you've been talking to the wrong people. A true mentor coach who's worth her or his salt has a three-legged stool they offer you. One leg of the stool is skill development around the ICF core competencies. Another is personal growth and business development is the third, along with a successful track record that they can point to, complete with testimonials. And they have at least 5 years of great coaching experience, okay, under their belt. Otherwise, you're just doing peer coaching. And there's nothing wrong with peer coaching, but you can't expect a peer to be a mentor. They don't know what they don't know. A qualified mentor does know and has a track record. And if there is a mentor out there that you're looking to hire and they're not willing to give you testimonials or let you talk to a couple of the people that they have mentored, then your red flag needs to go up in the air like any other well-informed consumer of anything else. Research, another person says, research indicates that small business owners or solopreneurs can increase their bottom line by 18 to 30% through joint venture partnerships. What have you found to be the best joint venture or strategic alliance practices between coaches and other business owners, or between coaches and other coaches? I would refer you to a great little book, paperback, called Smart Match Alliances, Smart Match Alliances by Judy Feld, who's a friend, and Ernest Oriente, who's a friend. Judy is a past president of ICF. Ernest is one of the most successful coaches in the world. And they both have impeccable skills and credentials and backgrounds. And their little book is a gem. So I would refer you to that to give you some good information if you're interested in building alliances. Another person says, how valuable is a Facebook page for a professional coach in the startup process? Where would you put it as a priority? Someone else asked if the course will cover social media in depth. Well, yes and no. We only have 8 weeks. We can't do everything, but we will cover some social media tips and techniques. The best marketers spend years developing their craft. Facebook, if it was its own nation, would be the third largest nation in the world all by itself. So that's one reason to get on Facebook, just for the exposure. But please, if you do that, don't combine your personal stuff with your business stuff on the same Facebook entry, because you just confuse people. And it looks like you're not really serious about your business. So you can have a Facebook page devoted to your business. That's what I suggest you do. Have a separate page for your business. The other thing I would say is that LinkedIn is more attractive for businesses. So you might want to look at LinkedIn as an alternative. Okay, somebody's still off mute. If you hit star six, I would appreciate that if you haven't. Okay, well, I may thank you. I appreciate that. Otherwise, I'll have to go in and find you. I don't want to take time to do that. Okay. I'm going to have to do that. So another person says or asks, what kind of buzzwords attract people to a prospective coach? I don't know that I believe in buzzwords so much as I believe in being curious and wanting to know how you can be of benefit to someone, okay? It's important that you be of benefit to someone. and let them know how you can benefit them. Okay, so I would say that's far better than worrying about buzzwords. Okay, in other words, I go back to what I said earlier about not explaining coaching, but rather what is the benefit of coaching, and going from there. If you can explain someone you've coached and what they got from the coaching in a succinct way, or it doesn't even have to be your client, someone you know was coached successfully by someone and what made it successful, that will be very helpful and hold you in much better stead with building a relationship with a prospect than just worrying about using the right buzzwords, okay? Where and how do you advertise when you're a brand new coach? Well, you know, there I cover 100 different ways to market yourself in this course, but advertising is not among them. traditional advertising doesn't work well for coaches. Every time I say that, somebody comes back and says to me, well, I know somebody who took out an ad in XYZ and they got a client. Yes, they got a client, but are they getting clients consistently from that ad? I'm willing to bet dollars to donuts the answer is no. Traditional advertising doesn't work, nor do people hire you just because they've seen your website. They may want more information because they've seen your website, but it's a process. Again, think process, not a once-and-done deal. I don't go to someone's website for coaching and say, oh, wow, looks like they know what they're doing, so I'm going to hire them. Instead, I go there and I look, and I said, they look interesting. I'll interview them or look to interview them and get more information. Okay? So it's a multi-phase process. Advertising, traditional advertising, really doesn't work. Save your dollars. Save your dollars for a decent mentor coach. How's that? Who has a track record? You'll be much better served. Another person says, I direct a counseling center that's recently added 4 coaches to our staff with the intent of expanding our services. We have a good reputation for professional counseling, but I'm wondering how we can build our counseling reputation in order to build a coaching practice. Well, you have to let people know, obviously, that people both services are available. You have to hire the best coaches you can find, preferably who have the equivalent of a professional coach certification or a master coach certification. you have to let people know that this service is available and what it entails, and how it's different from therapy, because it is. There are some overlap, yes. I like to say that coaching is therapeutic without the DSM-4. Now I have to say without the DSM-5. But the point is, just because something's therapeutic or helpful doesn't make therapy what I'm doing. And you have to keep it in a coaching framework, okay? So you have to be able to articulate really clearly what's going on in coaching versus what's going on in counseling within your setting, your counseling center, okay? You may also want to, if you're serious about this, rebrand yourself as a counseling and coaching center, okay? And not just call it a counseling center, because that just sends half the message in a marketing context. Another person says, I run 3 businesses. All 3 fall under a broad communications umbrella, translating, training, presentation skills, and coaching. Should I maintain each separately on separate websites, business cards, stationery, etc.? My answer, yes. Don't combine apples and oranges. You just confuse people. You have to have 3 separate target audiences, 3 separate businesses, 3 separate everything. And the reason for that is simple. People get confused. Okay? You send them mixed messages, they get confused. And a confused mind takes no action. Write that down. That's a gem. A confused mind takes no action. So if you confuse people with your answer to anything that you are responding to, or you confuse them about what you offer or how you offer it, don't expect them to buy. Okay? They're going to be confused, and they're going to run for the hills. It's that simple. What documentation is needed, someone asked. That's a good question. A lot of times we forget that as a business, if you're in business for yourself, there are often local and state business licenses that you have to have. And always have a separate checking account for your business. Okay? So look into that in your location, in your municipality. Along that line, I would also tell you that one of the best investments you can make is to let a lawyer look over your coaching agreement and make sure it complies with the laws of your state and your municipality so that it doesn't come back and bite you somehow. It'll be the best $50 you ever spent or $100 that you ever spent to get that legal input, well worth the price. Much less expensive than a lawsuit down the road, trust me. Okay. Which leads me to another question. Does a life coach need liability insurance? Need it? No. If it makes you feel better, you can get it. I think ILCT has a recommendation of how you can get that, but I also know that many who are MSWs already have coverage that includes coaching, whereas other kinds of therapists do not, but MSWs seem to have some kind of connection that covers them. So check into that with your providers. The other thing I would say is the ICF has a firm out of the UK that they recommend that covers most states now in the US, I believe all of them, and it's relatively inexpensive compared to insurance that you can buy through a regular agency. If you go to a regular insurance agency and you ask them for liability coverage, they're going to think you mean an umbrella policy. That's not what you need. You need something that has what is called E and O coverage. That is, errors and omissions. Because without that, no policy is going to help you. Because if someone ever did want to sue you, it would be over some error they thought you made or some omission you forgot to tell them about. So that's why it's important to have your contract looked over. And I don't care if you call it a coaching agreement, or a covenant, or what you want to call it. The minute $1 exchanges hands, the law calls it a contract and treats it accordingly, okay? Not to make you paranoid about it, because most life coaches don't have insurance, liability coverage. If you treat people well and you offer them a money-back guarantee, I offer a money-back guarantee for the first 30 days. If it's not working for them, I don't want them here. And I tell them that up front. So at the end of 30 days, we reassess. Is this working for you? Is this what you wanted to get? Are you getting value from it? And if you're not, then I expect you to fire me and get somebody who will help you. And by the way, happy to give you your money back. Less 10% for my bookkeeping and different things I've had to do. And I've never had... Oh, gosh, and all since 1995, I've had to do that twice, two different people. And one of them refused to take the money back. Okay, that's fine. So let's see. What do you do that will keep a client motivated to continue coaching? Well, you got to stay curious, and you've got to be willing to challenge the client to keep growing. A lot of things you can work with a client on, they don't know you can work with them on. For example, if a client comes to me because they want to build better relationships with coworkers, and we work on that, and then they all of a sudden find that they need a raise, they don't know that I can also work with them on how to approach their supervisor with a language that will merit they're getting a raise. So you have to be willing to tell them what related services you can provide, because they won't know otherwise. The other interesting thing is, while I'm on the subject, is it's funny, but if you don't tell people you're looking for clients, they assume you're full. They assume your practice is full. I don't know why that is, but they do. Now, when you're starting out, of course you're looking for clients, but don't say, I need 10 clients. Say, I'm looking for a client. I have an opening next month for a coaching client. If you know of anybody who could utilize my services, please let them know about me. And here's my card, et cetera, et cetera. But don't say, I need 10 clients next month, because that sounds needy. Okay? You don't want to come across as needy. Even if you do need 10 clients, okay, you've still got to get one at a time. So go after the one at a time until you're at the 10, okay, if that's your goal. Some people want to do this part-time, and some people want to do it full-time. How long does it take to build a full practice, full-time practice, where you're earning, I don't know, $30,000, $40,000, $80,000 a year or more? That depends on you. So I've seen it done in 6 months. I've seen it done in 6 years. It depends how much time you have to devote toward it. It depends how serious you are about working toward it. It depends on other commitments. You already come to coaching with a full plate as a human being. You have full days already. So you start by squeezing this coaching thing in. The way I like to say it is this. You go to, it's like going to a buffet downtown here in Las Vegas with plates full of food already in your hand. And now you see this coaching buffet and you go, oh, wow, that looks so great. I want a lot of that. But you look down at the plates in your hands of the responsibilities and commitments you already have, and there's no place to put it all to fit it in. So you've got to do it a little at a time. Nothing wrong with that. Just know that if that's your situation, it's going to take you longer to build a practice than if you come with two empty plates. It's that simple. This is not rocket science. Never said it was. But it does take intentionality, and it does take some strategic planning. Okay? All right. So I want to open it up now to some questions. Those are the ones that jumped out at me as important of the ones I looked over this morning briefly, and I probably, you know, missing a couple of good ones, so I apologize if I didn't get to your question, but if you want to ask it now, feel free. So unmute yourself. The rest of you stay on mute. One at a time, unmute yourself and ask your question. Tell us who you are, where you're from, what your question is. I'll do my best to give you an answer. Okay? Star 7 to unmute, by the way. Yes, go ahead.
Hi, Jim? This is Ray Rice.
Hi, Ray. Go ahead.
I have a question on the on the course itself. How long will the course be in terms of the day? I know it's 8 sessions.
Right.
Are you meeting weekly, biweekly, et cetera? And what's the cost structure on it?
My understanding is they're charging $400 for it, Ray, at ILCT. You sign up for it through Ellen or through, you know, the website. It's 8 weeks, once a week, for an hour. And then you'll meet in a support group, a peer group. Hopefully once a week in your peer group at a time of your own choosing together. And what else is that? Did that answer you, or do you need?
That answers the question.
Thanks. Okay, thanks. Who else wanted to get in there? Some lady wanted to get in. Sorry.
Yeah, Jim, this is Becky.
Yeah, Becky, hi.
Hi. I wanted to get your feedback on, you know, going to different networking opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've found out in the last few months that there's many formal networking groups in, you know, in my community.
Sure.
And also, I've been going to ribbon cuttings.
Okay.
So I guess that depends on the personality of the person, but I wanted to get your feedback on that.
Yeah. Well, I believe in networking, not necessarily networking groups. It depends on, like you said, who you are and how comfortable you are in those settings. I've done some of that in the past myself. You know, I'm blessed enough now to get most of my clients by referral, but it took a number of years. I'd be lying if I said it didn't take a number of years to get to that point. But over 90% of my clients come by referral now. But when I started out, I started out by marketing myself through a newsletter. You know, of course, I predate Google and a lot of other things in terms of my business. So, but there were networking groups then and now. Chamber of Commerce. I'm still a member of the Chamber of Commerce. I confess I haven't been to one meeting here in Las Vegas, but I've been a member for 3.5 years. And a number of reasons for that, you know, inconvenient times and so on and so forth. But my point is, if you're going to be part of a group, you know, be part of it.
Right.
Get your money out of it. And I have gotten my money from the chamber because of the other resources that they provide here. It's a huge chamber, and up to and including health insurance benefits. So I have gotten my money's worth. But in terms of the networking opportunities, you can start your own networking group and have it be just as effective. And I teach you a way to do that in this course. Okay?
Okay, thanks.
Sure. Anyone else?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. My name is Barbara. I'm calling from North Carolina.
Yeah, Barbara. Hi.
I'm just getting started. I'm completing the BCC credentialing certification, and I want to know, because I'm getting started, what should I charge once I start to charge?
Yeah.
How much is the going rate for a coaching session?
Well, that's a great question. We tell people at ILCT that if you're in our program, your rack rate, I'll call it a rack rate off the top of my head, should be about $100 an hour. You can always go up or down from there. Here's what I would liken it to. Depending on the cost of living in your area, you may want to raise or lower it. There are times when I have international clients. I have a couple now. And depending on the country they're in and what the U.S. dollar is doing against their currency, I may raise or lower my fees when I hire a client from that country. Notice my language. When I hire a client from that country.
I like that.
Okay. The other thing is, you know, if you look at some overall indicators like automobile sales and believe it or not, McDonald's has what is called a Big Mac Index. They do a great marketing job of they can tell you what a Big Mac costs in various locations. Now, I can tell you that people in Des Moines, Iowa, are not going to pay the same for a Big Mac as people in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be different still in Moscow. So wherever you see the golden arches, the ingredients may be the same, the process may be the same, but the prices are going to vary depending on the currency and depending on what the dollar is doing at a given time. So in North Carolina, where you are, you probably can't get the same price as you can in New York City for your coaching. But my best suggestion would be to contact a few coaches in North Carolina. You can find a list of them by going to the International Coach Federation website, coachfederation.org, and typing in, look like as if you're looking for a coach, just put North Carolina. All the coaches in North Carolina will pop up, then start calling a few of them and just, you know, tell them you're new, tell them you're starting out, ask what they charge. And a few of them will help you. A couple of them won't, and they'll be evasive. Just thank them for their time and move on. But most people are more than willing to give you a ballpark of what they charge, and that's the easiest way to find out at first. Okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Sure. By the way, I wouldn't recommend putting prices at your website for a lot of different reasons, one of which is as soon as you do that, you've locked yourself in. You can't negotiate, so don't do that.
Yes, that's where I was looking, and I noticed that nobody really posted their prices.
Yeah, well, some coaches do, but personally I think that's a mistake, but that's just me.
Okay, thank you again.
You're welcome. Bye. Anyone else? We're out of questions? Amazing. Really? Seriously?
I have one.
There you go.
Jim, this is Ann from L.A. Just to follow up on the previous question, so if you negotiate with different clients, what if for some, you know, bizarre chance, they, you know, two clients get together and they find out that, ooh, you know, one gets charged, you know, $100 an hour and the other one $75.
Yeah.
What happens?
Well, it's no different, Ann, than buying a book at Amazon and then a week later, someone else buys the book and they've raised or lowered the price.
Hmm.
Or Walmart does a rollback on something on the same item. You know, I've negotiated a price with you. You've agreed to pay it. We're both happy. I'm living up to my commitment and you're living up to yours. So what's the problem? Now, most of my clients don't know who my other clients are unless they're in a group setting. When I do groups, but individual clients don't know who my other clients are. I'll never tell them. So the chances of that happening are slim. But again, each negotiation with each client is a separate deal, as far as I'm concerned. And so if somebody's willing to work with me for $100 an hour and somebody else is only willing to work with me for $80 an hour, it's up to me if I accept the $80 client and the $100 client. If I do, and they say, oh, you know, Jim Bacola is your coach. He's my coach too. Really? Yeah. Okay. What do you pay him? Well, I paid him this. Really? I pay him only this. No kidding. When did you start with him? Well, we started a week from each other. And then somebody comes back to me and says, hey, how come you're charging this other person less? I said, well, because that's what they were willing to pay. And you were willing to pay this other price. I mean, if you feel I'm somehow not getting you value, then let's talk about that. But if you're getting value at the price you agreed to pay, what's your problem?
So have you run into this, given that most of your clients are coming by referral now?
Only from student questions, no offense. I've never run into it in person. I've never even heard of seasoned coaches who have run into it.
Okay.
The only time I ever get the question is from, you know, starting coaches. Okay? That's no slam. It's just a fact.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Jim, are you ready for another question?
Absolutely.
You said, I love what you said about to a client, I have an opening next month.
Mm-hmm.
If you know someone who'd be interested, okay, then it kind of petered out for me.
Mm-hmm.
If you know someone who'd be interested in coaching, please tell them about me. That sounds a little needy to me. Maybe that's what I wrote.
Okay.
Can you finish that better for me?
Sure.
If you know of someone, finish that sentence.
Okay. If you know of someone who's looking for a coach.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Sure. Anyone else?
Hey, Jim, this is Jonathan Ruth. I've got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Do you do most of your coaching over the phone, in person, or is it a mixture?
I've done it both ways. I primarily like to work over the phone because that allows me to use my uniform du jour, which is a T-shirt and cutoffs. And I don't like dressing up anymore. Like I said, I'm semi-retired. If I never see a coat and tie again, I'll be very happy. Although I am taking my wife out tonight to a nice place for our 30th anniversary dinner, which was yesterday, our 30th. And I'll dress up a little, but she still's not going to get a tie and a coat out of me. So I tell people, if you want to meet with me personally, I'm happy to do that. But just know that I'm going to have to charge you double what I otherwise would charge you by phone. That usually ends that conversation. Because then I have to dress up and I have to travel to meet with you, and I find it hard to extricate myself from those situations. They always have one more thing they want to talk about. Whereas on the phone, when the time is up, they're willing to hang up.
Okay, and that actually leads into another question. How long do your sessions usually last? Are they half an hour, an hour? Does it just depend?
I bill between 30 and 45 minutes in my agreement. And I have a lot of clients who at the end of 20 minutes are done, and others who want to go on for 50, 55 minutes, which is fine with me. I'm not really a good clock watcher. I tell them this is not a taxi ride from the airport. I'm not trading your dollars for my minutes. I want to make sure you get value from each call. And if that happens in 20 minutes and you're done, great. If it happens in 50 minutes and you're done, fine. Either way is fine with me. But I know it says 30 to 45 minutes on paper, but if you need to go a little longer and you're working on something special, that's fine. If you want to cut it off and say, I'm done for the day, that's fine too.
Okay, great. Okay. That really helps. Thank you.
Sure.
Hi, Jim. This is Barbara in North Carolina again.
Uh-huh.
I have a couple of quick questions. I think they're quick.
Okay.
Someone has just recently told me about a service online called Ether, E-T-H-E-R. Are you familiar with that?
Can't say I am. They're coming out with new stuff online every day.
It's kind of like having an answering service, and it also is structured to accept payments online.
Ah, yeah. Well, I would say I don't know what about them, and I don't know what they're charging, but I know if you want to accept payments, my suggestion when you're starting out is use PayPal. It's inexpensive, as in it doesn't cost you anything to set up. And it'll enable you to accept credit cards, and you can send an invoice through PayPal, have it paid. And that's a quick and easy way to do it. There are also other merchant accounts you can get. If you're a Costco member, I'm told Costco has a great merchant account service. So you might check into your local Costco and ask them about that at the customer service desk. Okay?
Okay, and my other question is about the a self-paced course that's offered by the Institute.
What is that? I'm sorry?
It's a self-paced, a self-directed course.
Oh.
And I believe they have one on marketing. I was just wondering if that was...
I have nothing to do with that. You can check with Ellen Ritter about it, okay?
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome.
Hi, I wanted to ask a question about something you had said earlier, where you talked about how introverts had to market differently.
Yeah.
Can you say a little bit more about that?
Sure. I've found over the years that people who are introverted probably don't want to start out with public speaking as a marketing technique. Okay? They probably want to start out with something more like writing articles, or doing I teach them how to do an autoresponder series of articles, things of that nature. I want to challenge them, but not put them so far out of their comfort zone that they start to sweat when they think about marketing. Something that I tell every introvert they can do comes from guerrilla marketing with J. Conrad Levinson, which, by the way, is required reading at Harvard Business School. He says, go to the library or the local bookstore, go to the section that pertains to your business or industry. So in our case, as life coaches, we'd go to the self-help section and thumb through a few books, and in the middle of the book, leave your business card in the book, inside the book, in the middle. And people will call you and say, I found your card inside this book. And I've actually had clients who are introverts who got clients that way.
That's clever. Thanks.
Yeah. Now, if you don't like that and you think there's something wrong with doing that, don't do it. Okay. You're not defacing any property or anything. You're giving them a bookmark. Look at it that way.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you know, I don't have any problems with public speaking. I'm very comfortable with
okay.
that. But the mm-hmm. idea of, like, handing cards out to people and things like that, mm-hmm. I'm uncomfortable with.
Yeah. Well, always have business cards with you. And if anybody's on this call and you don't have a business card, you're not marketing yourself seriously. So what you need to do, in my humble opinion, is after this call is over, go to vistaprint.com, V-I-S-T-A-print.com. I get no royalties. And get yourself a business card. You can get, you know, 250 cards for like $10 or something. There are lots of good designs and whatever. All you got to say on it is your name, professional life coach, and your phone, how to contact you. Later on, when you have a good elevator speech, you might want to put the elevator speech on the back of the card. That way they know why they're calling you, not just how to contact you. Okay?
They're having a semi-annual sale now, too.
There, semi-annual sale, a VistaPrint customer. I love it. I get
yeah.
all my stuff from them. They're great. They're great. Okay, we've got time for one or two more.
Hey, Jim, this is Chris from
yeah, Chris.
Denver.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering your opinion about coaching friends and family and then also offering a friends and family discount if you do coach them.
Yeah, sure. Nothing wrong with offering a discount to friends and family. A lot of businesses do that all the time. That's no different than somebody who owns a diner giving friends and family discount. But as a coaching client, make sure that they're coachable. Namely, do they understand that when you coach them, it's a different relationship than being a friend or a family member usually is? Namely, you're going to hold them accountable to the goals that they say they want to reach. And that's usually something friends and family don't do for each other. So I have a funny story about that, true story. When I started out, I coached a friend of mine who I grew up with, and he was willing to let me practice on him. And I said, now, you know this is going to be different, and I'm going to hold you accountable. He's, oh, yeah, no problem, blah, blah, blah. Well, he said something during one of our coaching sessions, and I said, listen, I'm going to take my coaching cap off now and put my friend's hat on. And as a friend, I'm going to say to you, are you out of your mind? Why would you want to do such a stupid thing? Now, I'm going to take my coaching cap back on, take my friend's hat off, and say to you, let's look at some alternatives together. And we both just cracked up. It was a funny, funny, funny thing.
Yeah.
But as long as somebody can see the difference and they're okay with that, then I'd say coach them. If they can't see the difference, and I'm serious about that part, don't do it.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds like meeting those expectations from the beginning is very important, and then differentiating as you go on.
You've got to teach people how to be good clients.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Jim.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes.
Can you hear me, Jim?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I'm very interested in your course. I have a couple of questions, though, that I didn't hear or addressed. Well, first of all, do you provide any kind of support materials with your class?
Mm-hmm.
Also, I wanted to know about website, or will you address the benefits of having a website
mm-hmm.
and or a name, because I don't have a name for what I do, a name like a company
mm-hmm.
name.
Sure.
What do you, can you answer those for me?
I can.
Okay.
Let me take the last ones first. Will I address websites and company names? Yeah, absolutely will.
Okay.
Do I have support materials? Yeah.
Okay.
we speak, I'm still working on it. I'm up to 106 pages. And you're going to have probably even more. Excellent. So I got plenty of material, but you know, my problem is whittling it all down, narrowing it down to 8 weeks. I got enough material for 6 months, but I can't use it all.
Okay. All right. Well, sounds good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate very much your taking the time to be here. I know it's inconvenient for some of you, time-wise, and I do appreciate it. I believe the recording will be available, and also I think they're making available to you from ILCT an interview I did back in 2006 with a coaching colleague named Ed Osborne, who's a neat guy. And anyway, it's a 26-page transcribed interview I did about building a wildly successful coaching business. And so a lot of the stuff we've talked about today is in there in more depth, and some things we didn't get to today. Granted, it's a little bit dated, but I think it's still good information. So ILCT is willing to make that available to you for free. Okay? So thank you very much. And those of you who can take the course, I think you'll find it interesting and helpful. It is the first time we're offering it in this format, so I'll be looking for your suggestions how to make it better also for down the road. And we hope it'll be an ongoing part of the curriculum. So thanks again for your time today, and I hope to see you in some other venue. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.